Blog Talk Radio.
Educating people through knowledge, intellect, and education, we make a difference. Tonight, our guest with us is the best-selling author, Monique Burston. Monique Burston is from Georgia, and I've known her for 3 or 4 years now. And I also have with me my co-host, Garland McLaughlin. Garland, how are you doing?
Good, good. I'm doing great tonight. It's Garland McLaughlin. So ready to help you with the show and get it going with our guest here.
Okay, how are you doing tonight, Monique?
I am doing wonderful, Angela. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. It's good to have you on your show, on my show.
Thanks. Good to be on.
I know things were a little rushed, so I'm glad you could make it tonight.
Oh, yeah, I can always make it. No matter what I'm doing, I still have time.
Okay, we're going to start the questions off with Garland. He's my co-host I told you about, so we're going to start the show off with him.
Yeah, okay. I heard about you. Come on now.
All right.
Okay.
Well, Ms. Burstyn, you know, you have two books out, Look Inside Me, and your latest book is about bullying. And I just wanted to know, you know, has bullying ever attempted to hinder your progress or success in life?
Not per se my progress or my success, but it was hindering my daughter's success. So I wrote the book for her breakthrough and basically for her because it was something that she was going through as well as a lot of other kids are going through.
Okay. Okay. And, well, your book, Inside Me, I noticed the N in the title. You know, can you let us know any particular reasons why that stands out? And what is the book
Look
about? What
inside
is that book about?
Me. Mm-hmm. First off, that name is just like, you know how people normally judge people just by looking at them, but they don't know what's going on the inside of that person.
Okay.
And so on the outside, I look ordinary just like everybody else because I am an ordinary person. But there's more to me than being ordinary. And I feel like no matter how I dress, how I talk, or whatever the case may be, you can't just judge me looking at me. You have to look inside me because you'll never know who I am until you do. And the book is about my life. It's actually my autobiography. A lot of people don't believe it because of the way that it is and can't believe that a human could go through all the things like that. But I don't regret anything I went through. I'm happy for everything because if I could change one thing about me, I wouldn't. Because if I changed one thing, it would change the whole person that I am today.
Okay.
Monique Burstyn, you have a book, the book Look Inside Me that Garland was talking about. Is this your first book, Look Inside Me?
Actually, Look Inside Me was my first book. And I say was because Look Inside Me is doing very successful. It's doing better than I thought because I'm thinking, like, this is my life. People are this interested in my life. And so because Look Inside Me wasn't actually completed when I first put it out, it was just a snippet, basically, of what my life was and wasn't my full-blown life. After selling 100,000 copies, we pulled the book back so I can redo the book and make it the whole life, and then you'll get, you know, the full deal. And How to Let Someone Know That You Are Being Bullied. I will say now that is my first book, and it's on BarnesandNoble.com.
Okay.
Okay, so you pulled the book Look Inside Me back. Okay,
yes.
You sold 100,000 copies in the first week. Am I correct?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that's wonderful. You are very talented.
But it'll be back out in March,
woman.
Though. Thank
March?
You.
Okay,
thank
that's
you.
Next month.
Yes, ma'am.
You are also a very versatile actress. What is your educational background?
Oh, I have a good educational background. I have a bachelor's.
Okay.
I have a master's, and I have two diplomas.
Wow. Okay.
So I like to write.
Okay.
So, of course, I have to do something on creative writing. And now I'm thinking about taking up acting school, even though I've already acted and been actress and everything like that. You know, you can never be too refreshed. So I just like to keep up to date on everything.
Okay. Well, Where would you say you are in your career right now? Like, what stage of development? Like, the beginning, end, or, you know, like somewhere
I'm
in the middle?
I'm kind of in the middle, I'll say that, because I just did my first music video last Sunday, and it's a give-back video about, you know, just giving back to the community, people that are struggling and everything like that. It's not so bad, because what goes down comes up, and what goes up comes down. So I'm on a different venture, just trying different things. No limit, no nothing, just let's go. 2012, let's get it.
Okay.
Okay. How does it make you feel, even though you pulled the book back and you have a second book out on bullying, how does it make you feel that you sold 100,000 copies in the first week? How did that make you feel?
Oh, my goodness. I felt all kind of ways. I didn't know how to feel, to be honest, like, because it was like, this is my autobiography about my life, and I was putting it out there to heal myself, and I said it could help somebody else, but I wasn't really sure on who it would help or who would want it because it was still my life. And when I got the reports that said
I sold 100,000 copies of my book in 1 week. I think I learned how to hit backward flips that day.
Okay. All right. We have a caller on the line. Caller, do you have a question? Caller? We have a caller on the line? Okay.
Oh, they got
okay,
shy.
Why do you call yourself
open,
Monique
wide open.
Why do you call yourself Mo Better?
It's Mo Better, baby. Actually, a director gave me that name. He said I take criticism real good because they would, you know, critique you on this or say that, and I'm the one that don't stomp off the stage all mad at you. I'm like, okay, all right, and I try and go and get it better. So he was like, the more I send you to do stuff, the more better you come back. The more I send you to do it, the more better you come back. And the more he said it, he's like, okay, we're going to call you Mo Better.
Okay.
Like, I get
Are
better.
You at a happy place in your life?
I am at a
Are you
wonderfully,
a happy place?
Ecstatically happy place in my life. I am blessed. I woke up this morning. I am sitting on my phone talking right now. I am blessed. Every day that I wake up, I'm blessed. I cannot complain about anything, no matter what bad or good or whatever happens that day. I won't complain because I'm breathing. There's a lot of people that's not.
Okay. Well, what do you like doing better? Do you like acting or being in entertainment, or do you like writing as an author? Is it more appealing to you?
There is no better. I get to work with people doing all of it. So I like all of it because I get to interact with so many people, different personalities and this, there, and the other. So that's why I act and sing and dance and do this and that, because everything I do, I'm interacting with somebody.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
That sounds great.
You are very ambitious. What motivates you? What motivates you? What drives you? What keeps you going? I mean, you're so high energy, and I just wondered, give me some of that advice myself, because I'm kind of dragging today. So what keeps you motivated?
What keeps me motivated is not only the fact that I have kids. I get tired of people saying my kids keep me motivated. Yeah, they keep me motivated because I have kids. But even without kids, I would be motivated to have ambitions because I want something out of life. I've just always been told you're nothing, you're never going to be nothing, and this, there, and the other. So I wanted to make sure I made that person eat those words and let her know that I'm something. You know, when I was born and I got a name on my birth certificate, I was something and somebody. So I don't know how I can never be nothing because I was always something. So my motivation was just the people that were always trying to put me down. I wanted to stand up just because I wanted them to know that you can't put me down.
Okay, we have another caller. Caller, do you have something to say? You're on live.
Yeah, this is Joe from Brunswick, Georgia. I just want to know, is Mo Better?
Yes.
Is she single?
Yes, I am single. I actually just got out of engagement. My fiance cheated on me, and I had to leave him.
Wow.
Yeah, so I've been single for a while, and that's why I'm still happy. And in a relationship, I would be happy as well. But I want, a good man, someone that don't have to cheat and that would love one woman, because I don't have a problem with loving a man for eternity or infinity.
Okay, well, my number is...
What's your number? What's your number? I can travel now.
Okay.
So I was going to say email me, mobettababy, MOBETABABY, at ymail.com, and all my emails come to my cell phone.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much, Mobetta.
Did you get an email address?
Yes, ma'am, mobettababy.
All right, thank you.
Okay, so email me, and I'll email you back, or leave me your number, and I'll call you.
That sounds like a winner. Thank you so much.
I like to eat. I'm 128 pounds. I'm 128 pounds, but I like to eat.
Okay. I don't have any problem taking a woman out to eat. There's no problem.
You don't have a problem taking a woman out to eat?
None at all.
Not at all. Okay. So,
okay,
eat and shoot some pool, and yeah, we can be okay.
Okay, sounds like a winner.
Okay, we got a connection.
All right, bye-bye.
We got
all
a
right.
connection. It's kind of like a love connection.
Maybe a connection. Love connection, yeah. All right, all right. I didn't expect that.
Yeah, all right, that is either like, wow.
Okay. Who do you most want to work with? Who do you most, I mean, you work with some of everybody. In a little bit, I'm going to ask you to name some of your films and theater plays. But who do you most want to work with?
Who do I want to work with? In film, I wouldn't mind working with Tyler Perry. I love his work, and I would love to actually be able to write for him. I don't even have to work for him on film. I would love to just write for him. I would love to work with John Singleton. And as an artist, I would love to work with either Patti LaBelle, Anita Baker, or my idol, Anna Mae Bullock. I mean, Tina Turner.
Oh, Tina Turner. Okay, I
yes,
know it's the picture of you and your choice. You got Tina Turner's legs. Okay.
Yes, and see, she's a good motivation,
I'm not trying to be, you know, but I couldn't help but notice. I wish I had legs like that.
Yeah, these legs are made for walking.
And that caller that got the email is going to like that. So, yeah, on to the next question.
What's the next question? Let's go.
Okay. I have known you for about 3 years, and you never cease to amaze me. I'm older than you, but I admire you. What does it feel like? What does it feel like right now, where you at right now? I mean, you already said it, so let me go on to the next question. What type of films have you been? What are the films and the theater plays that you have been in lately?
Oh, my
mostly?
God. Can I name, do I have to name them
years?
All or just a few?
No, you don't have to name them all, just the ones that you like the most.
Okay,
no,
of
the ones
course.
That stand out the most in your mind. I shouldn't say like. The ones that
well,
stand
of
out
course,
the most.
Well, of course, the one that I met you in, Lord, Why Me? After that,
okay.
I did a 9 to 5 remix, so I had to do a lot of performances. It was a musical. Big Black, I've been in The Axe Force, Seduction. I played in 5 Days in the A. I was just a little background in Stomp the Yard, too. And,
wow.
Oh, my God, Angela, so much. I'm writing my own stage
okay.
plays now, though. I'll
okay.
be starting my stage
right.
plays in May of this year.
All right.
You said you
that's
wrote
wonderful.
Your own play for this year?
Yes, I'm writing my own stage play. I have a stage play called Stop Bullying Me. Look Inside Me has also done a bit of stage play, and I'm also trying to turn it into a theater movie.
Okay, wow.
Okay.
So do you have plans on, you know, taking that nationally or globally, you know, letting people
I have plans on going to all 50 states. I won't even go on to places that ain't even on the map. Let's go.
Okay.
Okay. What is the name of your book about bullying? What's the name of it?
The one that's out now on BarnesandNoble.com or Amazon.com or Lulu.com is called How to Let Someone Know That You Are Being Bullied. My second book, where I got to interview people that actually have children that have strangled themselves or killed themselves, or the child was killed, you know, just out or something like that. That book is called Stop Bullying Me, and it's based on real life.
Okay, so it's two different books,
okay.
but, you know, about the
yes,
same
stuff. Two different books.
Okay.
But Stop Bullying Me won't
okay.
come out until the middle of the year, because once I do Stop Bullying Me, I'm going to immediately do a stage play for that.
Wow.
All right.
I'm trying
to
do three stage
break.
Plays first. All of my stage plays will start off free at first,
mm-hmm.
and then as I build, I'll start, you know, just $5 here or $7 there. I don't want to charge anybody too high, because I want you to be able to come out and enjoy it with your family and not have to worry about the price.
All right. So okay. let's go to break now.
All right, let's go to break.
She's a brick.
We have with us tonight Monique Burston, better known as Mo Betta, the author of Bullying, the book Bullying, and also the best-selling author of Look Inside Me that sold 100,000 copies in the first week, which is being re-released. So let's go to break.
When you're searching for the latest news on entertainment, the economy, business, technology, and creative arts, choose
the Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Not only do they give you all the latest information, but they're there for you 24/7, baby, giving you the 411 and all you need to know, baby. Visit the Digital Conglomerate Magazine online. Just Google us, baby. We're everywhere.
All right, the owner of that is Garland McLaughlin. You can also check out Exquisite Design. He's the co-host tonight on Show Talk with Angela Butler. His number is 1206, or his business number is 1206-279-1712. You can also check out the Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Magazine.
Don't forget to check out Demetra Stewart's magazine, Atlanta Ambition. The magazine is currently online, and the February edition is out. That's www.atlantaambition.com. The phone number and contact number is on the website and the magazine website. And don't forget Maurice and Abigail Weber, the people who work with Bicellus. They are more than happy to cater to your weight loss goals. Bicellus is a great product, and you may reach my recent Abby Merriweather on Facebook. Don't forget to be the lookout for the filmmaker Jawana Ramsey at the film festivals. His film, Lost It All, is a religious film based on the book of Job from the Bible. Also, don't forget More Time to Sleep. That's MTTS. Are you looking to get extra sleep at night? The More Time to Sleep system is the answer. It's for parents who have really fussy babies and wake up every hour or two of the hours. This product is insulated, has materials regulated, bottle temperature, and is moisture resistant. The More Time to Sleep system has a pouch designed to hold any size bottle from any manufacturer. It fits up to 4 bottles. The Vercor lining keeps everything in place. No cords, no batteries, no fuss. The Vercor lining combines the comfort of your pillow with the More Time to Sleep system. And the inventor of that product is Conti Patino from New York State. All right, let's go back to the interview with Monique Mobetta Burstyn. All right. Hi.
Let me know when you're ready for me to read.
Okay, I'm ready for you to read. I believe you're going to read chapter 5 when you were 8 years old.
Yes. Would you prefer me to read chapter 5, or would you just prefer me to give you a couple of points?
Whatever's comfortable to you.
It doesn't matter to me. I'm asking the host.
Okay, you can read chapter 5.
Okay. This is chapter 5.
I can read both.
Inside me. Okay. This is I'll read you chapter 5, and then I'll read you the last poem called Made Me Me. Chapter 5. The poem is called Tired. I have a poem in the beginning of every chapter in the book except for 2. Okay. Tired.
Okay.
I'm tired. I just want to lay down and die. I'll be surprised if you care. No one else ever asks why. I'm just so tired of being hurt and abused, never believed, and always being falsely accused. Instead of getting whoopings, I get beat bad. My mom doesn't love me, and I don't know my biological dad. I'm so tired. I'm going to take 20 of these pills and lay down. I hope my mom has insurance on me. She'll be happy with the money. She don't need me around. How can you not protect your own child? Why am I such a disappointment to you? How can I make you proud? You'll love this. Listen, I have the perfect solution for you. I'll fall off the face of the earth so it can just be you two. My only fear is dying alone. Who am I kidding? No one will miss me when I'm gone. I'm tired of being a nobody to you. I'm eliminating myself, your problem, for me and you. Okay, this is the beginning. I went on.
Okay.
I'm still a kid. Rick never got confronted, and he still lives with us. Wow. I guess I'll just live in silence. I just wish somebody, anybody, would come save me. My brother has not asked me once what's wrong. Does that mean he don't care about me? I'm living in hell with the fire and all. I'm still being molested, and my mom is still trying to make people think I'm crazy. Sometimes I wish I was never born. I allow whatever happened to happen. A couple of more months went by, and I became suicidal. I felt there was no reason to live. I learned how to commit suicide from my roommate at Georgia Regional. I learned something valuable while I was there. Now I see how a person can want to kill themselves. I just want a family, a mom. I want to know how it feels for your mom to hug you tight. I want to know what it sounds like to hear your mom tell you she loves you. I want to know how it feels for someone to believe in me so I can believe in myself. I'm just a kid. I'm starting to think I was a liar after all the times I was called one. I don't know what normal is at this point. I never knew, to be honest. I stood in the mirror in the bathroom and took 2,500 milligrams Tylenol. Then I went to my room to lay down. My mom walked in my room looking for something, and I was breathing funny. She was talking to me, but I didn't respond. She called 911. She started shaking me. I was rushed to the hospital, and they immediately pumped me full of charcoal. It came out both ways, and I lived. Whoop-dee-doo. Man, my mom started saying, I told y'all she was crazy. I didn't mind being kicked while I was down. I feel like I'm crazy now. My mom told the doctor I was crazy and that I tried to kill myself. The doctor asked me why I did it. Why tell him? So he can say I'm lying too? So he can judge me? I told him I just didn't deserve to live. I stayed silent because it doesn't matter anyway what happens to me, and it never mattered to anyone else. I went back home when I got at the hospital. I was still being molested after all I've been through, and I couldn't take it anymore. I tried jumping off a ledge in my bedroom to break my bones. It didn't work. I kept landing on my feet like I was a cat. Guess that's the Leo in me. Then I started running away from home. It was a cry for help. My cry wasn't heard either. Our neighbors would always catch me. She always takes me to her house and waits for my mom to get off work, and then she takes me home. I got to the bus stop one day and thought I was gone. Wrong. She was right there. I'm going to stop right there on the chapter because I want you to just wait for a suspense.
All right.
Then this last poem I'm going to
read. We have a couple of more minutes with this interview. I have my caller. I have another show, part half of the show to do with Bill Gunner, the creator of Theater with a Mission.
Okay.
I just wanted to know, how do you feel towards your mother now at this point in your life? You're a young woman still. You're probably not even 31. How do you feel towards your mother? You said you were happy, so.
To be honest, I have no feelings toward my mother. I am a believer that you are supposed to honor thy mother, so I do that. I don't feel there is any disrespect because the misagreements and everything that me and my mom had, it was because of the things that she allowed to happen to me. My mom is deceased now, and the only thing I wanted was questions, and I just wanted to for her to tell me she loved me and just to feel it and to hug me just one time. And that never happened, so I didn't know how to feel, so I don't have a feel. It's just I love my kids more, and I just try to live my life the best I can, whether I know a motherly love or not. I'm a good mother, so to me that's all that matters. She missed out on getting to know me, so I feel that's something that she has to deal with.
That's true. And listeners, we have with us, we've had with us tonight, Monique Mobetta Burston, the author of Look Inside Me, and she also has a book out on bullying. Would you tell the listeners where they can go to find your books? And if there's anything you'd like to add, please do.
Yes, my website is https://www.mobetta.goods.officelive.com. I can be found on Facebook at Monique Burston, and you can also follow me on Twitter at MobettaBaby, MobettaBaby. My How to Let Someone Know That You Are Being Bullied is on Lulu.com, Amazon.com, or BarnesandNoble.com. My name is Monique Burston, also known as Mo Better, so you can put in either name, but Mo Better is B-E-T-A, Mo Better. Roll off your tongue.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you. And I look forward to talking to you in the future.
Anytime.
Monique, and I thank you for coming on my show. I thank you.
Anytime.
I've enjoyed
Anytime
it, and
you're
I
so
like
welcome.
To say again that you motivate me. You motivate
thank
me,
you.
And I'm proud of you.
Thank
keep,
you.
Keep going. Keep going.
Okay.
God is with you.
Thank
All
you
right.
so much.
Good night. Yes.
Good
okay.
night.
Don't
and
forget
the
gentlemen.
A blessed...
All
okay.
right. Well, yeah, it was great, great hearing from you, and I'm glad I had a chance to ask you some of these questions.
Yeah, and I look forward to being in the magazine.
Oh, we'll talk.
That's Garland
we'll
McLaughlin.
Yes,
okay.
yes. Okay. I'm real photogenic, like, you know.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Well, I thank you both, and it was a pleasure.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
All right. Take care.
All right, listeners, we have with us tonight Theater with a Mission to Create is Ben Gunner. How are you, Mr. Gunner?
Doing fine, thank you. Thanks so much for having us here.
Oh, you are welcome. Is Ms. Christine King with you?
No, she is on her way to see Much Ado About Nothing at Tallahassee Little Theater. So I get to be on the radio, and she gets to be in the audience.
Okay. All right. All right. Okay, you're the creator of Theater with a Mission.
I'm the artistic director for that, yes.
You're the director. Well, I call you the creator, director. Okay.
That's all right.
Okay. Theater with a Mission explores living history through plays from the Spanish Golden Age. Am I correct?
That's right.
Okay. Who are you currently translating and performing plays from?
Well, right now, because Florida will be commemorating 500 years of contact with Spain next year, Ponce de Leon landed in Florida and named it La Florida in 1513, 500 years ago next year. We're working on a play by a great playwright named Lope de Vega. The play is named El Nuevo Mundo Descubierto por Cristóbal Colón in Spanish. In English, that's Christopher Columbus Finds a New World. And it's the first play ever written that has a scene in America put on stage. And we're particularly interested in it because two of the Native American characters in it, of the really central Native American characters, have names from people and places in Florida. So the play has got a Florida route through the characters that it puts on stage. It also has a scene where oranges are introduced to the New World, and since oranges turn up at the center of every Florida license plate, it's really cool to see their first appearance in the New World. And the play deals with themes that are still really important for Floridians today, how you balance development and environment, how you bring people from really different cultural backgrounds together and make one culture out of them, or maybe not make one culture out of them, but have them live together in a really productive exchange. So that's one of the reasons those are three of the reasons that we're really interested in this play, because it has Florida place names, pieces of Florida history in it. It has pieces of Florida symbolism in it, and it asks questions that are really important for people who live in Florida today.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, what is it like to organize your shows in various venues and playhouses? Is it busy all the time, or is it constant, panic that, you have to do your best at every show?
It's both of those things. It can be a real panic, a real thrill, and really busy as well.
Okay.
We have a great friend in Tallahassee, the Mission San Luis, which is a wonderful place to go and explore living history, because it's the rebuilding of a mission that operated on that site until 1704. So we really enjoy having a base at Mission San Luis, and that helps us a whole bunch by giving us some rehearsal space during the day. But we've got a lot of actors who work during the day, so we have to scramble to find rehearsal places to use at night. Mm-hmm. And it's always a rush to get a performance ready. Right now we're working towards some performances in March, and bit by bit we're getting there. But half of the fun of theater is finding the miracles that happen along the way, mm-hmm. as you try to do what looks completely impossible and find ways to do it.
Okay.
Okay. You call Lope, how do I pronounce, Lope de Vega?
Yeah, Lope de Vega. Yeah, good.
The Shakespeare of Spanish drama. Why?
Yeah.
The Shakespeare of Spanish drama. Can you tell us why?
Sure. Okay. Most people have heard of Shakespeare's name and think of him as a creative genius, because he was. He wrote really, really, really great plays. Lope de Vega was a creative genius as well. As a matter of fact, Lope was so creative that Cervantes, the man who created Don Quixote, called Lope a natural wonder. Lope is supposed to have written well over 400 full-length plays, probably that many one-act plays, huge novels, huge poems. He was so talented as a writer that at a dinner party one time, when somebody asked him, "Lope, how do you write a sonnet?" he answered in a sonnet that describes how to write a sonnet. In his own era, he was so famous for doing everything excellently that Spanish people still today use the phrase "es de Lope," which means "it's by Lope," to mean it's really good. So if you eat a dinner and it's cooked wonderfully, you could say, "Whoa, that dinner es de Lope." If you wear a dress that makes you look like $1 million, you could say that dress is es de Lope. His name became synonymous with excellence. So,
okay.
I think that's one of the reasons that you can really call him the Spanish Shakespeare.
Okay.
All right. Okay. All right. You're informing the listeners, and you're informing me too.
Cool.
These theater plays have really, to the best of my knowledge, have not been seen in Northwest Florida or Florida's state capital. Am I correct? They haven't really been seen a whole lot anyway.
You are so right. You are absolutely right. As a matter of fact,
Tallahassee, Florida is the state capital, so, okay, go ahead and talk. Sorry.
Yeah. So the plays haven't been seen very much. They haven't actually been seen very much all the way through the world. And one of the reasons that it's really exciting for us to be working on plays from the Spanish Golden Age is because worldwide there's a rediscovery of those plays going on. In 2004, the Royal Shakespeare Company in England decided to do a Spanish Golden Age season. They translated 4 plays and staged them. They were so successful that 3 of those plays transferred to the West End, which is London's equivalent of Broadway. And they had people flying in from all over the world to see them. One of the best-kept secrets in America, probably, is the fact that the National Park Service runs the oldest and longest-running Golden Age Drama Festival in the world. Every March in El Paso at El Chamizal National Memorial, the National Park Service puts on a festival of plays, and people come from all over the world to see that, too. It's been going on for about 38 years.
Wow.
But bit by bit, people are rediscovering these plays, and they're wonderful. It's kind of like if people had forgotten who Shakespeare was and suddenly opened up the library and started doing the plays for the first time, you would realize you'd stumbled on a treasure that had been hidden for a long time. I think that's what's happening with these plays.
Wow. So do you plan on, showing your version of plays outside of Florida or expanding the reach of your audience?
Yes, indeed. You should come serve on our board. You say exactly the right thing. Yeah. We would like to do a full-scale production of this play by Lope for the quincentennial, for 2013. Hmm. And what we think would be so cool, and we're working on plans for it bit by bit, but we're a volunteer group, And we're wide open to anybody who wants to come work with us. So if your listeners want to get in touch with us and come work alongside us, yes, indeed. And bit by bit, we're going to snare Miss Angela Butler into our into our cast.
Okay.
What we'd like to do
into your cast. Okay.
Okay. We'll get you there. What we'd like to do in 2013 is to start with a production of the play in Tallahassee, then go to St. Augustine, and then go down the east coast of Florida and come back up the west coast.
Wow.
Because most people think that Ponce de Leon, when he landed in 1513, landed somewhere on the east coast between Cape Canaveral and St. Augustine, and then went south and came back up the west coast of Florida to Tampa and Clearwater area, or maybe even north of that. So we think it'd be really, really cool to take the play and to tour it, kind of recreating that route. And one of the things that's so interesting about this play is it's got Native Americans in it. There are different archaeologists have been studying the natives that lived in Florida in the early 1500s and finding out a whole bunch of stuff about them. And the tribes were different from one place to the other. So we think it'd be really cool to start in Tallahassee with Apalachee, using everything we know about Apalachee Indians to stage the Indian sections of the play, and then go to St. Augustine and use the Timucua Indians and what we know about that, and then go on down the coast and change the tribes that the Spaniards are running into as we get through different sections of Florida. So that's one of our dreams.
Okay, sounds like a history lesson.
How is the audience reacting to your stage plays, your theater plays?
Well, we've had a lot of different reactions from audiences. Most of our reactions are delight. Some of them are wonder, and then some of them are puzzlement. So one of the things we like to do is mix Spanish and English. So there's a wonderful scene in the play where a Native American named Aute, which is the Apalachee name for the area around St. Mark's, but Aute reports seeing the Spanish ships land. He's the first person to report that. And he's struggling for words to find how to describe it because it's something that's never been seen before. And it's really cool to do that scene in Spanish and in English at the same time. We've developed a way of having two actors, one speaking English and one speaking Spanish, weave the narration together. Some people just find that absolutely fascinating. They love to listen to the interplay of the languages. We've had other audiences who find themselves really delighted with solving some mysteries. There's a character named Tekwe who reports the landing of the first horse and rider, because archaeologists say that horses were in Florida until about 10,000 years before Ponce de Leon landed, but they evidently were hunted to extinction. Then the Spanish brought horses with them. So the natives were seeing horses and riders for the very first time. And there's this wonderful description of a horse and rider as a two-headed creature with four legs that leaps and jumps and cries aloud. And we've had audiences really have a wonderful time trying to decode what Tekwe is talking about, because Lope has written it, so it's presented like a riddle for the audience to solve. What is this creature?
Okay. All right. Garland had asked you, did you have plans to travel outside of Florida? And you said you were traveling throughout Florida. Does that mean that you have yet to make plans to travel outside of Florida?
That's a really great question. We haven't made specific plans to travel outside of Florida yet, though when Ponce de Leon discovered La Florida, Florida was everything in North America at that point, because that was the very first official contact between Europeans and North America. And we'd certainly like to go into Georgia and Alabama. We've got friends in Tennessee. We'd like to take plays there as well. But because 2013 is Florida's 500th anniversary celebration, we've really been concentrating on Florida a lot.
Okay.
All right. Okay, we're going to have to go to break. Listeners,
okay.
We have with us tonight Bill Gunter with theater with the director of Theater with a Mission in Tallahassee, Florida. That's my neck of the woods. So we're going to go to break, and please come back and hear what he has to say.
When you're searching for the latest news on entertainment, the economy, business, technology, and creative arts, choose
the Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Not only do they give you all the latest information, but they're there for you 24/7, baby, giving you the 411 and all you need to know, baby. Visit the Digital Conglomerate Magazine online. Just Google us, baby. We're everywhere.
Excuse me, I is doing love. Can I tell you that you're looking real, real nice with your sundress on? Girl, you're as pretty as the sky. I'm not the one to spit game or be the one to drown you with words. I just wanna know your name, and then I'ma give you mine in return. Your lips, your eyes. Girl, you gotta know that you are one of a kind. Tell me this, are you messing with some other guy? And if not, then maybe I can call you later on tonight and see what's going down.
Did I have to know?
Yeah.
I wanna know if I can get the chance to chill with you,
still with you.
Then maybe go catch a movie and grab some food.
Oh, 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 oh.
I just wanna get to know you. Then maybe I can get the chance to see you and tell you the morning.
Oh, yeah. Now excuse me, miss, can I tell you this? Your beautiful skin's like a perfect 10. Your smile, your style, your sexiness look way more sweeter than a Hershey kiss. And you're wearing that dress with some shoes and a rest. I can tell that you walk around with confidence. And I really like the way you smell. Girl, I love the way you carry yourself. Like, whoa. Yeah, I know you done heard this before, but I'm about to tell you some more. That you're really, really, really beautiful. From head to toe, like, whoa. I really wanna take it slow, so we can reach that last level, where we both get that perfect glow.
I wanna know if I can get the chance to chill with you. Then maybe go catch a movie and grab some food. I just wanna get to know you. Then maybe I can get the chance to wake up next to you and tell you good morning. Oh, afternoon. I wanna know if I can get the chance to chill with you. Then maybe go catch a movie and grab some food. I just wanna get to know you. Then maybe I can get the chance to wake up next to you and tell you good morning. Oh.
Sit back, relax. All right, listeners, that was Fareed Braxton with Good Afternoon. He's an R&B singer. Tonight we have with us Mr. Ben Gunter from Tallahassee, Florida. He is the director of Theater with a Mission. Mr. Gunner, before we went to break, I meant to ask you a question.
Okay.
In American history, they teach that Columbus discovered America.
Yeah.
And I couldn't help but notice you said something about Florida and a gentleman landing in Florida. Could you explain that to me?
Oh, sure.
And to my listening audience?
Okay. That's a great question. All right. So in American history, we get taught a whole bunch of stuff, and most of it ran right through my head and ran out of it, because history, when I was taught it, was like a bunch of facts, a bunch of dates, and a bunch of names to memorize, and that's about as dry as history can get. One of the reasons that we in Theater with a Mission are say that we're exploring living history is because instead of looking at dates and names, we're interested in ideas, why people did things, and then what effect their doing things had on other people. So we're using the play that Lope wrote around 1600, and he wrote it about Columbus landing in the Bahamas. We're using that as a way to explore the ideas that were at work when Ponce de Leon landed in Florida in 1513. So I'm so glad you asked that question, Angela, because here's a chance for us to use one event to look at another event through. In my granddad's house, there's this this old-timey kind of movie projector a grandfather of the movie projector called a stereopticon. You hold it up to your eyes and you look at a slide through it. And when you look at the slide through the stereopticon, it's like it's three dimensions because the angles are looking, the angle that each eye looks through is slightly different. And that's the same process that we're using in looking at Florida's discovery in 1513 through Columbus coming to the New World in 1492. It's like a different angle, so you get more dimensions. Mm. So when I took Florida history, fourth grade, like fourth graders have to do today, we had to memorize Ponce de Leon, and of course I grew up in Leon County, so people said, yeah, Leon, it's named after him, and that made a big difference to me feeling local about it. But it was basically dates and names, and not much about ideas. What drove the man to sail here? What did he expect to find? And what happened when he ran into people who already lived here? What did they have to talk about? And how did they talk with each other? What kind of signs did they use? And what objects did they exchange? What did they expect to get out of that? And how did they talk about big issues like religion and property rights and the chance to have opportunities? How did they talk about those things? What difference did it make for the people who were already living here that the Spanish came? And what difference for the Spanish did it make that they ran into people who were already living here? Those kinds of living history questions are exactly what Lope's play Nuevo Mundo, New World, is about. Why do people explore? And if somebody's looking for gold and glory and for an opportunity to spread the gospel, is that bad? Is that good? Does that work against the good of the people who are already there? And how do they communicate? What language do people who come from really different backgrounds find to start talking to each other? So by looking at 1492 and 1513, we're able to find more about ourselves as people.
Mm. So does the play also talk about the Fountain of Youth? Does it have any...
You know, that's a great question. It doesn't specifically talk about the Fountain of Youth, but it does talk about what makes people happy.
Okay.
The third act of the play opens with two Spaniards who have all the gold they could ever dream of having, talking about how having all that gold doesn't make them happy. And they start asking the question, contentment, where do you live?
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really interesting. But it doesn't specifically talk about the Fountain of Youth.
Okay.
Okay, you had an I get emails from Theater with a Mission.
Yeah.
Even though I wasn't privileged to come and see the play, theater play, on September 10, 2011 was a memorable day, I mean, because
yeah.
I received a lot of emails about it, and I wish I could have been there to see this. What happened on September 10, 2011?
Oh, great question. It was Founders Day in St. Augustine. That's the day that commemorates the landing of Menendez, who was the man who founded St. Augustine. And St. Augustine is really important because it's the oldest continually occupied European setting in North America. People have been there since 1565 continuously, all the way through hurricanes, all the way through wars, all the way through changing from being Spanish to being British to being Spanish to being American. People have kept on living there. So what happened on that day is they did a reenactment of his landing. There were a bunch of people in costume from 1565 on the land because by that time Menendez had already offloaded a lot of people that he brought with him from Spain, and then he had sailed north to fight the French. And then they had an actor in a gorgeous black and gold costume representing Menendez with the Spanish flag. They had him land from a boat on the St. John's River and proclaim that the land was claimed for the King of Spain. And then there was a procession up to a platform where people celebrated a commemorative mass, sang a lot of music. Then there was a historical lecture by Michael Gannon, one of the most influential historians of Florida. So lots and lots of things went on. It was a great day. But I think the high point was the reenactment of the landing of Menendez. There were probably 48 or 50 people in period costume representing Native Americans, because those guys were body painted and their hair spiked up and they had feathers on. They were
okay.
Amazing to look at. There were some people representing nuns and clergy, some people representing soldiers, costumed as soldiers, some as colonists, people, farmers and leather makers and blacksmiths. And they all greeted Menendez as he landed from the river.
Okay. All right. All right. Now, what is Menendez's whole name?
Oh my goodness. I'd have to go on the internet.
Is it
check
Pedro?
That out. Pedro
Menendez
de Aviles.
Say it again.
I think it's Pedro Menendez de Aviles. I think
Aviles. Okay, help me with the pronunciation. What is Theater with a Mission doing next? What's the next move?
Well, our next performance is going to be on March the 3rd at the Museum of Florida History. The museum is opening a new exhibit called Forever Changed. It's the first time that the museum will have a major exhibit talking about the coming of the Spanish to La Florida. So we're going to be performing two scenes from Lope's play Nuevo Mundo. One of them is the scene of First Contact, where Columbus and his brother and Fray Buil, the priest that they brought with them from Spain, run into their first Native American. She's a woman named Palca, and she's running away from the Spanish because the rumor has come that aliens have landed. So she's running for her life, and she runs right into them. And it's a really cool scene because they have to figure out that the Spanish are hungry, and she's carrying corn. The Spanish have never seen corn before, and they don't know that it's to eat. So she has to show them that it's to eat, and that they give her a mirror, and she has to figure out how the mirror works. So it's really a wonderful scene to look at how different cultures can start to interact with each other. And then we'll be doing a scene.
All right.
We'll also be doing a scene about the introduction of oranges to the New World. And that's got two youngsters, a 10-year-old boy and his 12-year-old sister named Aute and Anika. And they are sent with a dozen oranges to carry to the friar, to the priest. And he's late getting to the rendezvous point, so they start to try to figure out what an orange is and which part of it you should eat.
All right, Mr. Gunner. We winded down time. I thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Because you're the director of Theater with a Mission, I look forward to having you back. The plays and theater plays sound very interesting and historic. and I look forward to seeing them, possibly being a part of the play, theater
Excellent.
Plays. So thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler.
You're so welcome. Y'all come see us on March the 3rd.
All right.
March 3rd, 2012. What time?
It's at 10:30 and at 2:30 at the Museum of Florida History. You can also find out more about us on our Facebook page, Theater with a Mission. Like us, and you can find out all about our activities right there.
Wow.
All right. Listeners, you have been listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. I've had on the show tonight Garland McLaughlin. Thank you for tuning in to Show Talk with Angela Butler. I also would like to say that this is Black History Month. So, listeners, Black History Month is not just a time for celebration, because celebration is all year long. So, celebration of Black History is all year long. So let's not overlook this month and all the new year. And remember to teach your children about their history. Miss Garland.
Yes.
Do you have anything you'd like to say?
Well, you know, it was definitely a pleasure working with you, co-hosting this show. And, you know, hopefully I can do it again. You know, it's very fun. You know, I enjoy myself.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, Dean Gunner.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for having us here. We look forward to talking with you all more and exploring how Black people and Spanish people interacted, because there is a whole history there, and it's not a story
okay.
that's often told.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Look forward to it.
Thank you very
that.
Much.
You're welcome.
All right, look forward to it.
Good night.
And that's in Tallahassee, Florida, people, my neck of the woods. Okay, we're going to listen again to Fareed Braxton, and then we're going to end the show.
Wash away the pain, oh, 'cause she's gone.